Less than half of Americans approve of President Biden. That's 538, calculating the president's polling average estimate among a host of other pollsters who are all asking the same question. Has the president's rating bottomed out? We're talking about public sentiment heading into Biden's first State of the Union speech. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So what is the driving force behind public opinion? Is it COVID? Is it inflation? Is it Ukraine? Join in 800-642-1234. Charles Franklin, professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette Law School poll. Charles, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too. So lay out the present. What do the polls tell you about President Biden's approval ratings ahead of tonight's State of the Union address?
Yes, he has slumped substantially in his approval rating since July. If we look at since he took office, up through near the end of July, his job approval rating was consistently averaging around 55% approval. And disapproval was down around 40 or 41. But then in the late summer, especially as we saw the withdrawal from Afghanistan be heavily criticized, that approval rating fell off pretty dramatically to the mid-40s. But then over the course of the fall and now the winter has drifted down rather slowly but somewhat steadily to about 41% on average approving now, 53% disapproving. That's the second worst at this point in a presidency of any post-war president in the modern polling era. And it's really a pretty substantial drop-off. On the other hand, after that drop in August and September, we've only seen modest declines of a point or two since then, though, as I say, it's been drifting down from 44 or 45 down to about 41 now. While we do have polling that's been completed in the last couple of days, I don't think those polls have captured any impact of the Ukraine crisis.
Okay.
Normally in the past, when we've had a foreign crisis of some kind, there's been what's called a rally around the flag effect, mm-hmm. which temporarily at least boosts the president's job approval ratings. So I'd say we're still too early to know whether there'll be any effect of Ukraine that way. The big difference in our politics generally and in approval polling specifically is that since the second George W. Bush administration, the opposition party has consistently had such low approval ratings of presidents at 10% or below approval usually. And they don't, that pulls down overall approval, but also the opposition party has not rallied behind the president. So I think those are worries. Oh, or not worries, but those are reasons to doubt that we'll see the same kind of rally effect that we saw historically.
Perhaps notably in January, President Biden at a news conference, a reporter asks how the president would win back moderates and independents who had voted for him but aren't happy now. And President Biden just said he didn't believe the polls. Should he be believing the polls?
Well, I think everybody should believe the polls, but not be obsessed or consumed by them. It's a good answer for a politician who's down in the polls to say they don't believe them. That's just a smart strategy for any elected official with bad polling numbers. But I think in terms of believe them in the sense of use them to your advantage, even if you're down in them. For example, as you raised, one of the reasons he's down is that independents have fallen out of favor with him. So how can he use his speech tonight or use his general activity as president to try to win back some of those independents? He may not be able to win back Republicans who, by party polarization, are really pretty negative towards him, but he could bring back independents with the right policies and maybe the right bit of luck and positive improvement in conditions in the country.
Charles, does a State of the Union address itself give a boost when that when that president, regardless of what, you know, whether they're Democrat or Republican, says, you know, the union is strong?
State of the Unions have rarely coincided with a change in presidential approval. There are a couple of notable exceptions. One is Bill Clinton in the 1990s, for example. But for the most part, going back and looking at all the Gallup polls before and after the State of the Unions going back to the 60s, I only find one or two examples where approval ticked up following the State of the Union. So I think expectations for any State of the Union should be pretty limited. And the fact that we've had one or two cases when approval did rise after the address are really the exceptions rather than the rules.
Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette Law School poll, with us. You can join in. How do you feel about President Biden ahead of the State of the Union? What issues or actions have changed how you feel about the president? Do you believe the polls? 800-642-1234. Jake is joining us from Appleton. Hi, Jake. What is on your mind?
Hi, thank you. I'm thinking back to the election and the record turnouts that President Biden had.
Oh, Jake, you're breaking up. Can you still hear us? Yeah, Jake, we've got a bad connection, but I think the essence of your question is, how does inflation and the economy factor into polling and the public opinion of the president? Charles?
Sure. Inflation is certainly on people's minds. In most national polling, we're seeing upwards of 60% saying that they are very concerned about inflation. And also, this is an issue which, you know, we're at record rates of inflation over the last 40 years. There's really practically two generations of Americans that didn't live through and experience the high inflation of the 1970s and the early 80s. So inflation, even at 7%, as it roughly is now, is a new experience for people. And it is having an impact, especially in gasoline prices, automobile prices, and a few other sectors of the economy. On the other hand, we do tend to see that issue through a partisan lens, excuse me, with Republicans much more likely to say inflation is a great concern than Democrats do. So once more, our politics drives the way we see the world rather than the way the world is driving our politics.
Has that been consistent through time? That have you seen that breakdown like that through time?
There's been a growth over the last 10 or 15 years. It's not just most recently, but the last 10 or 15 years, we've seen the role of political identity, partisanship, drive economic perceptions to a considerably greater extent than it did, say, prior to 2010. And that's part of the broader polarization of the society. But it has meant that when we look at perceptions of the state of the economy, we're getting an unusually heavy dose now of people's partisan positions and a smaller, but not zero, but a smaller relationship to actual changes in the economy, whether that's unemployment or inflation or gross domestic product.
Marquette University poll director Charles Franklin giving us context to President Biden's poor job approval numbers, what it means for tonight's State of the Union address, the ripple effect in coming days. What issues or actions have changed how you feel about the president? How do you feel about President Biden's pick for U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson? What questions do you have about polling? Do you trust them? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Charles Franklin here on the Ideas Network. ahead of President Biden delivering his State of the Union speech tonight. Inflation, as we've talked about, soaring to a 40-year high. Russian troops escalating their assault on Ukraine. We discuss public sentiment, what the polls tell us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Washington Post ABC News poll conducted last week showed President Biden's approval rating hit a new low. NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson called it a deep hole, but the polling on the U.S. response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine has been bipartisan with a caveat.
But that support drops a bit when people are asked whether they would continue to support sanctions if it meant higher energy prices. So we don't know what sacrifices, if any, the American people are willing to make to defend stability in Europe.
How do you feel about Biden's leadership in the face of Russia invading Ukraine? What about Biden's 37% approval rating? 800-642-1234. Charles Franklin directs the Marquette Law School poll with us for the hour. Let's go to Linda now in Wauwatosa. Hi, Linda. What do you make of that approval rating?
Hi there. Well, the fact that it's coming from Marquette, which is pretty one-sided, my daughter went there for college. I really wouldn't believe it because I didn't want to vote for Biden in the first place. I am an independent, but I will tell you this, as he is trying to be transparent about the situation in this world, he is trying his best to get the reins on this war that started up from Putin, which real quickly, I don't think anybody really paid attention on Putin's birthday is when Trump pulled our troops out of an area that we have tons of allies, and this was on his birthday. No one paid attention to this. Our president did this, which murdered lots of people.
So, but Linda, what I'm hearing, Linda, is that as an independent, you really don't take stock of these very low approval ratings, and that, you know, President Biden being transparent about what's going on at home and around the world, it may hurt the approval rating, but at least you feel that he's being clear and honest?
I think he's doing the best job he can possibly do, honestly. Yes, I do.
I don't know what situation.
The Marquette and their polls, you know, there are a lot of right-wing people.
Well, there. I just want to stop there and let Charles jump in here on your thoughts, Linda. Charles, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry you feel that way about me and my polling, but the numbers I've been citing were not Marquette polls, but were national polls done by hundreds of surveys over the last year and averaged by the website 538.com.
When you look at what independents feel and the way that President Biden has gone about how he addresses the American public. You know, Linda says using the word transparent, being very clear. And certainly, you know, even in the Russian invasion, I mean, the Biden administration has been telegraphing, if you will, every move that Putin was making up ahead of that invasion. It didn't call off Putin. But do strategies like that impact a president's approval rating?
Yeah, I think the broad picture of how a president presents issues are pretty important. It doesn't mean that a president can come out and give a speech and suddenly change the way people see things. Those are extremely rare moments. But the question of what the strategy is and how you play it out over the long haul and whether you're consistent about it or not, I think those are pretty big things. The polarization we have now means that your opponents are unlikely to change their minds much about you, but those independents in the middle are susceptible to change when things go well or when things go poorly. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the questions we have now and going forward is, what's the path of the economy? How does this crisis in Ukraine shape up? And how does President Biden gain control of his domestic agenda? We saw the Democrats in Congress struggle all summer and much of the fall to pass some of his major legislation, passing a couple of big things, But as we'll hear in the speech tonight, I think there are still things on Biden's agenda that he would like Congress to act on. Those things will be important in shaping the perceptions of him among Democrats who see him achieving his goals, and among independents who might be won back to him, who have currently dropped their job approval ratings into the low to mid 30s.
Well, as you mentioned, Biden's approval ratings have steadily dropped since that July-ish, August-ish timeframe. And Democrats headed toward a November where it seems their congressional majorities are at more risk. What about the pandemic? Is the pandemic related to this outlook or something else? What is going on with public sentiment as you see the pandemic?
Yeah. Now, there, I think that something that gets overlooked a little bit, and I'm guilty of this, was I mentioned the fall of approval coincided with Afghanistan, and that was very much in the news and very much mentioned in polling. But we did see the return surge of first the Delta variant and then the Omicron variant over this same period. What we see in national polling is that when the virus surged in the late summer and into the fall, concern with COVID moved up, not surprisingly, but after it had fallen off a lot when cases became extremely low and the vaccine was rolled out in the spring and summer. Now, with the virus falling off sharply here in Wisconsin and around the country, we're seeing much more optimism about COVID, much smaller percentages of people saying it's a very serious problem for them or their state at this time. So, assuming that our cases continue to go down and stabilize at a low level, I think that's an area that could be very positive, not just for the health of the country, but also for Biden's job approval and the agenda of the party.
Talking with Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette Law School poll, breaking down poll numbers, the influences that might be impacting them. You can join in 800-642-1234. John is with us from Appleton. John, hi.
Good morning, and thanks for each of you and all you do. I have two questions. Ukraine's President Zelensky's approval rating recently went from 20 to 91. Do you think Biden will experience a similar uptick because of his good performance and description of the war? And secondly, gerrymandering is huge in Wisconsin. And have you ever done a poll comparing, say, the League of Women Voters plan to other polls or other gerrymandering efforts like the governor's in the state? So those are my two things. Thanks for, again,
thanks
for all you do.
John, thanks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. On the bump, that remains to be seen, but it would be rare for an American president to get a bump of that magnitude from 20 to 91. President Zelensky is, of course, right at the heart of Ukraine's crisis, and it's not surprising. Give you a comparison. Before 9/11, President Bush's job approval was in the low 50s, and immediately after 9/11 jumped up into the mid-90s. So that's the kind of huge bump that you're seeing with Zelensky now and that you saw with Bush in the immediate aftermath of that attack on the World Trade Center. I wouldn't expect any American president to see a similar kind of bump under the current circumstances. But the question of whether his approval moves up in light of his response and European response to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, I think that remains to be seen. But it certainly is an opportunity to see some upward movement. On gerrymandering, we've done a lot of work on gerrymandering, and a very substantial percentage of the public, well over 70%, prefer a nonpartisan gerrymandering process compared to one that's controlled by the state legislature and the governor. And public opinion has been pretty strong on that. However, Wisconsin does not have a citizen initiative process, which has been used in a number of states to implement nonpartisan districting.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, any change to our redistricting laws would have to go through the legislature and the governor. And those proposals have not moved forward at this point. And finally, of course, the courts are playing a large role in deciding which districting plan is ultimately adopted.
Marquette University poll director for the past decade, Charles Franklin, is here with analysis on national poll data ahead of President Biden's State of the Union address tonight. Do you pay attention to political polls? What questions do you have about how they're compiled? Have you responded to an opinion survey? What did you think of the questions you were asked? Did you feel they were neutral or leading? Did you give honest answers in return? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Charles Franklin after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're looking at the American political landscape and how polls reflect a snapshot, a point in time of what's going on. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Polling shows President Biden faces a downbeat nation as he delivers tonight's State of the Union. Only 29% of Americans think our country is on the right track. That's according to the February poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs. What issues do you think pollsters should explore? What changes in public opinion have you noticed in your community, in your own household? 800-642-1234. Charles Franklin directs the Marquette Law School poll, is with us for the hour. Charles, we heard from Deneen from Madison, called in, couldn't stay with us, and they find that it's hard to believe that of Biden's low approval numbers, and they want to know, how do pollsters make sure they get a fair balance of respondents from both political parties? And they want to know what kinds of mistakes can skew poll results.
Sure. Well, do we have 3 hours for this lecture? There are two major types of polling that people are seeing right now. You just mentioned the AP NORC Center polling.
Indeed.
NORC or NORC is one of the oldest polling organizations in the country, going back to the 40s. Their polling for AP and for others is based on what's called an address-based sample. You can buy from the post office the address of every place the post office delivers mail. You then draw a random sample from that list so that every address in the country has the same or a known probability of being sampled. And then you send them a letter and invite them to participate in polls, which they conduct usually online, though some are done by telephone as well. But that's called a panel, and that representative sample of addresses then is representative of people living in the 50 states. And that method is being used by a number of companies and media organizations to bring a kind of modern look to polling, where you are invited to participate by mail, but then you fill out the questionnaires online using your computer or your phone more often these days. The second is the older method of telephone interviewing, which we still use at the Marquette Law School poll and a number of national media pollsters still use. Here, you take a list of phone numbers, both cell phone and landline, and you use a method to sample those numbers so that every number in the country has an equal chance of being selected, and you call those numbers. As for what can go wrong, first of all, not everybody agrees to do an interview. And so if there's a political difference in that, if, as we have seen with troubles getting Donald Trump's vote correct in previous, the last two elections, If Trump supporters are a little less likely to agree to do an interview, then they're not as fully represented in the survey as you wish they were. We do things to make sure that we have the right percentage of various demographic groups, and some polls do it so that we have the right percentage of Democrats and independents and Republicans. But that still can't fix all of the errors, especially if it's a particular type of Republican, in this case, Trump supporters, who are a little less likely to respond. So we can do a variety of checks after the fact to see where we are demographically in the sample versus the population, and where we are, for example, now on whether you've been vaccinated for COVID and compare that to what the CDC tells us is the rate of COVID vaccination. So there are some ways to check, but there is ultimately, it's up to the individual respondent whether they will agree to do an interview or not. And that's one of the trickiest steps in the polling process.
You mentioned Trump, and at the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, in recent days, they did a straw poll there. Trump won 59% support from attendees when asked their preference of potential 2024 presidential candidates, and they released those results, I think it was just Sunday. What is the significance of a straw poll like that in a contained environment, if you will, like CPAC?
Well, I think that's actually a great example of the difference between a non-random sample of the public and a random sample of the public. Obviously, the people that traveled to Florida to attend the Conservative Political Action Committee conference are not a random sample of the U.S. population as a whole. And the big difference in that sort of self-selection is that you're choosing to go to that conference, and that implies a wide variety of attitudes and political preferences. We also see it when you'll see a comparison between people who watch Fox News and people who watch MSNBC. And you'll get big differences in the attitudes of those two groups. But that's not because the news source is changing people's minds nearly so much as it's because different types of people choose those different news sources. So again, you want random selection of people in polls, and that's what all good pollsters do. But there's always the complication that people may selectively choose to respond or not respond to the poll.
Charles Franklin with us, director of the Marquette Law School poll, with us on polling, what the polls mean. Do you trust the polls? What do you watch for? 800-642-1234. Charles, questions flowing in here. Maddie in De Pere called in, couldn't stay. Maddie wants to know, do you have plans to do any polling on the sanctions that the U.S. and other countries are imposing on Russia? And if the American people agree with this tactic of sanctions?
Yes. Eventually, I'm sure we will ask. We just completed a poll of Wisconsin, but that was done before the sanctions went into effect. So I don't have any questions on that for release tomorrow. But national pollsters have rushed to the field to do interviews about the Ukraine situation, and those will certainly include opinions about sanctions. To conduct a poll, it can be pushed into the field in a short period of time by many organizations, but to take a little bit of time to design the questions and let events sink in. The public is really an important thing. So I would say that the polling we're seeing right now are reflecting snap reactions to the Ukraine crisis. And I want to watch where those are today in the most quick polls. But I also especially want to watch what opinion looks like over the next week or two. The shift in the European Union's support for Ukraine is really quite a remarkable event and represents far greater unity in NATO and in Europe than what we have seen in recent previous issues and crises in the world. So I think that's very interesting. It may take a little time for the full impact of that to sink in, just as the nature of sanctions and potentially the impact here at home on energy prices or inflation may also take a while to set in. So you've used the phrase a couple of times that polls are a snapshot in time.
And I just like exactly to say right. that, Charles.
Yeah, well, it's exactly right. But remember that a movie is a series of those snapshots, right? Each frame yes. of the movie. So what I'm saying is we really want to watch those frames, those snapshots develop over the next few days, few weeks, few months to kind of come to an appreciation of whether support for Ukraine builds over time and maybe support for sanctions build over time mm-hmm. or whether they stay flat or whether they decline over time. And we don't know that from the first frame of the movie. Mm-hmm. But by the time we get to the end of the movie, we have a pretty good idea of the plot line.
Well, here's something that has had a lot of time to sink in, gel. It could be very entrenched, and that is abortion. The Supreme Court is deliberating a case that could result in abortion rights being overturned. And in December, Justice Sonia Sotomayor suggested the court may risk its legitimacy in that outcome.
Will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts? I don't see how it is possible.
How has public opinion on abortion shifted over time?
Abortion attitudes have been kind of remarkably stable for the last 20 years or so, with almost all of the polling showing that the majority of the public is sort of in the middle on the abortion issue, asking, do you think abortion should be legal in all cases, legal in most, illegal in most, or illegal in all? The two middle categories make up a solid majority of the public, while the two endpoints, always legal or always illegal, are minorities of the public. And then the question becomes, where in that middle divide between mostly legal and mostly illegal does the public fall? In our polling, our Marquette national polling on the Supreme Court that we've been doing since 2019, what we see is that about 72% of people with an opinion say they do not want Roe versus Wade struck down. That is, they want to maintain abortion rights. That's a very sizable majority, and it's also reflected and has been stable in other national polling in the last few years. But on the other hand, the case that the court is considering now, among other things, is a Mississippi law that bans abortions after 15 weeks rather than the current roughly 24 weeks that's the existing standard for restrictions. There, support is pretty evenly divided, with slightly more people opposing that 15-week ban than supporting it, but it's close to a 50-50 split. And so there you see an example where there's solid support for abortion rights in general. But whether you think a 15-week ban is acceptable or not splits the public pretty evenly. And then when we ask about the Texas abortion law that went into effect this fall that bans abortion after just 6 weeks, support falls for that all the way down to about 27%, 28%. So again, the circumstances of the abortion law and the restrictions makes a huge difference in the way people see the issue. Big majorities support abortion rights in principle, but then it depends on what the restriction is for how much support there is.
There's nuance. Charles Franklin, our guide to polling, leads the Marquette Law School poll, taking the temperature on what Wisconsinites feel about a range of issues since 2012. Still time to talk about polling and what you pay attention to ahead of the State of the Union. Do you trust the polls? Why? 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Charles Franklin here on the Ideas Network. You It's the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The White House is trying to find any source of political momentum to lift Americans up tonight in the State of the Union address. Frustration over rising inflation, as we've discussed, the pandemic has people pessimistic about the direction of the country, reflective in the polling of President Biden's approval or disapproval rating. Still time to talk about political polling, what you think the polls tell us. What do you want to know about how the polls are constructed and what they tell us? 800-642-1234. Marquette Law School poll director Charles Franklin is with us for about 9 more minutes. Charles, I want to move on to the Supreme Court nomination. On Friday, President Biden announced his nomination of Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. And at a news conference, she noted having the same birthday as the first Black woman to be appointed as a federal judge.
The Honorable Constance Baker Motley. We were born exactly 49 years to the day apart. Today, I proudly stand on Judge Motley's shoulders, sharing not only her birthday, but also her steadfast and courageous commitment to equal justice under law.
So what does this nominee, how would that impact President Biden's approval rating, and what does it say about the Supreme Court?
Yeah. First of all, I think that it looks like, at least at this early stage, that hearings will move ahead fairly rapidly over the next 3 to 4 weeks. And so that confirmation could take place pretty soon. Justice Breyer, who is retiring from the court, will not actually step down until the end of the term at the end of June, 1st of July. So she would not take her seat on the court until after he steps down in the summer. First reaction has been pretty positive. And again, remember what I told you about quick polling here, but in the earliest reaction, 46% to 17% say they want her confirmed. So that's a solid, solid public opinion. But 36% said they hadn't heard enough about her or about the nomination to have an opinion yet. And that's typical of the court. It's not the case that most people wake up and the first thing they do in the morning is think about the U.S. Supreme Court. And so we see large segments of the population, 30%, 50%, sometimes more, who say they really haven't thought about the issues of the court enough to have an opinion about some specific question. Likewise, her favorability rating is 27% favorable, 14% unfavorable, but that leaves 59% who say they haven't heard enough or don't know what they think of her. And again, that makes sense that while her name had been floated very prominently over the last few weeks as one of the contenders, again, most people have not paid much attention. So I think as the hearings move forward and how those go and how she presents herself and how she handles the questioning, public opinion will firm up some on these things. I think one thing that could happen is approval of Biden among African Americans nationally has declined over the course of the summer and the fall from the 90s down into the mid 50s. This is a nomination that he had pledged to make of a Black woman to the court.
Mm-hmm.
He pledged that 2 years ago, and now he's followed through on it. Initial legal reviews say that she's extremely well qualified. And so this may be a case where one of those important Democratic constituencies, Black Americans, find themselves happy to see him come through with the promise and make a historic appointment to the court, the third Black justice and the first female Black justice.
Well, in our final few moments together, I want to shift the focus here and look more at polling itself and what you know, you've got another poll coming out tomorrow, but looking also at what you've learned as you've conducted these polls over the past decade, some takeaways that you have or how you've fine-tuned, if you will, your processes in polling, what can you tell us?
Well, you know, refinement is a continuous process as we look to see where we're failing to represent the public adequately, and what do we do about that? So I mentioned earlier, people choose whether to respond or not to polls, but we track carefully where those non-responses are coming from. So with each poll that we do in the state, we look at the response rate from each county and look to see if there's any relationship between how that party has voted and whether the response rate is higher or lower in relationship to the vote. I'm happy to say that there's not been any correlation this year between those two things. And so it doesn't look like we're having lower response rates in, say, Republican areas or rural areas of the state versus urban. But that's one of the things that I do now to routinely check for the quality of our data. The other thing that I would say is more substantive, and we touched on it with the Supreme Court nomination, and that is to appreciate that a lot of people don't pay obsessive attention to politics, as hard as that may be to believe. And so one of the things is to allow voters to say if they haven't thought about a policy issue or if they don't know enough about a particular candidate or political figure to have an opinion. And those, I think, are important ways to show some of the ambiguity and the potential malleability of public opinion when people have not thought about an issue very much, but may come to think a lot about it, but just haven't gotten there yet.
You have to really figure out where they are in that process, where they are in that thought evolution.
Yes. And, you know, opinions can certainly shift. They can harden rapidly. You know, we do talk a lot about polarization, but just look at the change in Biden's approval rating over the last year. And you can see that we're not, in fact, set in stone. There's been pretty considerable change in that. Likewise, events that are favorable to the country could produce a rise in his approval rating and a shift in the views of the parties in light of developing events. Again, it's a movie, a whole lot of snapshots, but it's a pretty long feature movie.
And, anything can happen
we'll
in that plot.
Exactly.
Charles, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Charles Franklin is a professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, director of the Marquette Law School poll. We have a link at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.